Well, good morning. We're on week two of this series entitled Things Not Found in the Bible. And if you weren't here last week, just bring you up to speed on what we're doing. In this series, we're taking a look at several of the cliche, quote, spiritual sayings of the world that we often hear, these things that sound spiritual. And we're going to compare these cliches or these sayings to what the Bible actually says. You know, often we hear these and they sound biblical. They sound like something that would be in there, and yet you don't find them word for word in the Bible the way we hear them. For example, last week we talked about how to respond to someone who tells you God won't give you more than you can handle. That was last week. This week we're tackling a similar cliche. This one actually brings back some memories for me, of an uncle of mine who passed away a few years ago. See, I had spent a few years, I'd been somewhat distant from the Lord, I'd been somewhat distant from my faith. One evening, I went to my uncle's house to share with him a little bit of my excitement in being involved again with congregation, you know, where I'd grown up, with church. I was heading back to church service every week. At the time, I was somewhat close to my uncle. I was somewhat close to him. You know, and although, you know, you could say, you know, he had a belief in God, you know, he wasn't much of a Bible reader, and I know he didn't regularly attend church anywhere. So the day I went to his house, I was excited. You know, I wanted to share. I was hoping maybe he'd catch some of what I had, you know, like it was the measles. Wanted to share with him just how on fire I was for Jesus. You know, I'd had this spiritual renewal happen. It just felt like after all these years, God had set me free again. I felt free again to live for him. Well, I remember sharing this a little bit with my uncle, and my uncle chuckling at me a little and saying, well, don't forget, too, that God helps those who help themselves. Well, to this day, you know, God bless my uncle. I'm still not sure what that response really was all about. But as I recall, it wasn't the last time I'd hear it. I'd continue to keep him updated for a couple of years, you know, in all the differences that I felt the Lord was doing. I felt the differences Jesus was making in my life. But it's almost as if my uncle never dared to believe that God could actively make a difference in your life. The handle in this life was entirely up to me and my alone. It was on my back. I was carrying it all. And today, and to this day, I often think about this response. God helps those who help themselves. Is this saying true? One author has commented that God helps those who help themselves is probably the most often quoted phrase that is not actually found in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, where'd it come from? Well, it came from my uncle. No. Originally, it came from a source older than the New Testament of the Bible. We're talking about 400 BC, roughly around the time the Old Testament was finishing up, actually. Sophocles in 409 BC, remember that. I'm going to quiz you next week on it. Sophocles in 409 BC, and Euripides is another name that I can't pronounce. In 428 BC, used sentiments in their writings. You'll find such things in this ancient literature, such as thy first thyself, and after call in God, for to the worker God himself lends aid. You know, and it's like I'm supposed to be standing here holding a skull or something, you know. Later on, during the time of the apostles in the New Testament, or the first century AD, the proverb is used again. We hear it again. Modern usage, we hear it in modern times, traced directly to Algernon Sidney. He was a political theorist in 1698. Now, Ben Franklin used it as well. We find the expression, God helps those who help themselves in Poor Richard's Almanac from 1757. So remember, just in case anybody asks you, Ben Franklin, he didn't invent the light bulb. See, that was the one I thought I was wrong. He didn't on his own invent electricity. He was also not the first person to say God helps those who help themselves, just in case that comes up. What's interesting about this expression, though, is the picture you get. Or, you know, at least I get in my mind, it's like we're standing in some gigantic cosmic buffet-style restaurant. And God is just helping us to whatever we want from the universe as long as we take the initiative to get in line and fill our plates. Life's just one big golden corral. But when we look into what the Bible actually tells us about where we stand in the grand scheme of things, I think we find our situation is quite different. Turn to Romans 5:6 with me. Today, on the back of your bulletins, we have it listed here. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. This is the English Standard. Now, if we turn to the New American Standard translation of our text, it uses the word helpless. Helpless. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Helpless. That sixth word in there. So, the opposite of this, you know, our cliche for the day, God helps those who help themselves, makes us feel what? It makes us feel capable. Makes us feel capable. But the Bible tells us the opposite, which is why we need God's help in the first place, isn't it? I mean, it goes on here in verse 8, in Romans 5, 8, to say, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in matters of eternity, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever that God helps those who help themselves. Because if we could be of any help to ourselves whatsoever in justification or in taking care of our sin problem, we wouldn't really need God's help, would we? We wouldn't really need God's help. And that's why I don't understand when people say such things as, I have to get all cleaned up for God before I can show up, before I can come to him, before I can show my face in front of him. I have to get some things right in my life first. It's kind of like saying we need a new suit before we can go rolling around in the mud. Isaiah 64, 6 in the English Standard. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. The best we can bring to God on our own outside of his saving grace is no better in comparison to his holiness than the sight of a polluted garment. That's the best we can do. So the best we can possibly bring in our fallen condition outside of the blood of Jesus is like an oral agreement that's not worth the paper it's printed on. The sin problem we all struggle with has rendered us completely and totally helpless outside of the work of Jesus Christ, incarnate God. You can't get all cleaned up to come to God. You're helpless. You're helpless. But you need to come to God and let him change you from within. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God doesn't help those who are capable of helping themselves. God helps those who are totally helpless and know it. But I think too often our problem isn't that we're helpless and we know it. It's that we think we're capable and that we don't need God's help. Do you find this to be true? In the 19th century, another expression was coined that we often hear in conversation. See if you've heard this one before. In 1834, the publication Workingman's Advocate printed the following sentence in describing the example of an impossible task carried out, something that couldn't be done. Quote, it is conjectured that Mr. Murphy will now be enabled to hand himself over the Cumberland River or a barnyard fence by the straps of his boots. By 1860, a similar expression turned up in an article on modern psychology. The attempt of the mind to analyze itself is an effort similar to one who would lift himself by his own bootstraps. So the idea of a person, a modern person, making their situation better or bettering themselves by their own means via the tabs, loops, or handles at the top of their boots became a 20th century illustration that we often hear today, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. How often do we think that from here to eternity, we're capable of doing that. But the idea behind pull yourself up by your own bootstraps wasn't that you should take care of yourself by yourself. It originally wasn't every man is his own master. The point behind pull yourself up by your own bootstraps is physically impossible. You need help. Interestingly enough, this term bootstrapping has been shortened over the last several decades to also refer to a process by which a computer is powered on and loads the software by which it functions. You may know it as booting the computer up. But you still have to walk over and push that power button on the machine in most cases, don't you? To run properly, we cannot pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We cannot boot ourselves up. There must always be another party in the process. And so when it comes to getting up and going in the way we were meant to go, we have to turn to Jesus, because God helps those who are helpless. And that's you and me. That's you and me. I can't help but wonder, though. I can't help but wonder if part of the reason why we like this advice, why we like this cliche, why we cling to these sort of sentiments that we hear, is because of our culture. I mean, do it yourself, no matter the context, is really sort of our mindset, isn't it? For everything. It's sort of the American mindset. It's interesting. The Barna Group out of Southern California have actually conducted a study of the beliefs of Americans regarding this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. The study concluded the following. 53% of Americans strongly agree with this statement. 53%, that's over half of Americans agree. 22% responded that they agree somewhat. 7% disagree somewhat. 14% disagree strongly, and 5% stated that they don't know. That's just Americans in general. That's just us in general. Now, of those who identify as, quote, born-again Christians, of those that identify as Christian people, 68% agreed with the statement, God helps those who help themselves. Interestingly enough, 75% of American teenagers responded that they believe it's the central message of the Bible. Is it safe to guess everybody has one of these uncles? David Kinneman, vice president of the Barna Group, has commented that the results are the evidence that we're unfamiliar with the Bible. We don't read the Bible. We don't know what it says. It, quote, suggests a spiritual self-reliance. We rely on ourselves. This is inconsistent with the message of the Bible. It's inconsistent with Christianity. Can you imagine standing before your Maker, after grace was offered to you in your lifelong helplessness, and you saying to him, I help myself, Lord. I thought that was the American way. You know what? I'm not trying to put anyone down, because believe it or not, after all this, yes, I do think there is a way in which this concept, God helps those who help themselves, is the truth. You know, forgiveness of sins comes from God. He pays that price. We can't do that part of it. But you know that loan that you got down at the bank? Well, that loan at the bank came through because you followed God's leading up to the bank office and filled out an application and got approved, right? Christian apologetic resource gotquestions.org offers this. If you asked me to help you move a piece of furniture, but then just watched me as I moved the furniture for you, I was not actually helping you. I was doing the work for you. It goes on, we cannot ask God for help and then expect God to do everything himself. To paraphrase, yes, God will provide according to his will and in his timing, but there's no excuse for inactivity. There's no excuse for inactivity. Ask the Lord to help you find that job if you need a job, but then you must get active looking for it. Because although we live under a sovereign God, we also live in a world of individual choice. And this is what's so important this morning that we remember. God is not going to pull us kicking and screaming into paradise. He's not going to force it on us. And he's also not going to force us to take the initiative in the day-to-day matters while we're here. So we do have a few scriptures that are important to keep in mind this morning in the here and now. Proverbs 6:10 to 12. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. We do have scriptures such as Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. We do have scriptures such as 2 Thessalonians 3:10b. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Because God has given us skills, He's given us abilities, and He's given us desires to use them, hasn't He? And you know what? There's probably a pretty good chance that God has the function in mind for those skills and those abilities and those desires somewhere within His kingdom for service to Him, no matter what they are. Even in the matters of this life, even in that which is temporary, the goal is to advance the kingdom. That's the goal. Advance the kingdom. So I've decided this. In thinking on how to handle this phrase, this is what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'll do it quite like the way I want to do, but see if you think this is a good idea or not. It's our secret, just between you and me. The next time I have a chance to share with someone what Jesus has done in my life who doesn't know, they look at this phrase and they rely on this phrase and they take a moment to give me that tired cliche about how the Lord helps those who help themselves. I'm going to go back to the basics. I'm going to start by saying this. You know, you're right. You're right. Although Jesus went to the cross when we were helpless, Romans 5:6, and shed His blood for our sins to justify us before the Father, we do have to help ourselves. Today, will you, John 3:16, believe Jesus as the Son of God? Will you help yourself by believing that? Will you help yourself by 2 Peter 3:9, repenting of your sins and accepting that blood of Jesus in place of your own? Will you help yourself by Matthew 10:32, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you accept Him as your Lord, God, and Savior? Will you help yourself by being baptized, by being immersed into water, Acts 2:38, for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? And will you help yourself, Revelation 2:10, by being faithful? By being faithful to Jesus to the very end. The ball is in your court. Because God is calling you today to respond to a free gift of salvation. You couldn't do that part of it. When you were helpless, God made you capable. When you were unable to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, Jesus rose up from the grave and made you capable to respond to His great love and mercy, Ephesians 2:4. But you know, I thank God that He didn't expect us to carry the weight of salvation, but instead gave us a time to respond to it. I thank God that He didn't wait on my timing for the cross. I'm thankful for that. The author Douglas Adams once said, I love deadlines. I love the whooshing noise they make as they go by. That's me sometimes. I thank God He didn't wait on my timing for the cross, but He handled it, Romans 5:6, at the right time. At the right time. Thank God He died and rose again for the helpless. For the helpless and not the already capable. Who would that be? Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your word that promises us all the best things, all the good things. Your will. I thank You for Your word that reminds us that without You, we're lost. Without You, we're helpless. Lord, Your word tells us that You've provided that place to stand. I thank You, Lord, for Your grace, Your mercy, these things that we can't understand, Lord. We fail so much in following Your example, in Your selflessness. we fail so much in being the people that you've called us to be. But Lord, I thank you that you are constant. And you're always providing and you're always loving us, despite who we are. Lord, I pray that we would take the initiative, that we would remember that you do help us, but you helped us first. You saw us coming from a long time ago. And Lord, in that we thank you. We thank you for a love that we want to stand on. Help us to follow the example of your Son. And it is in his name I pray these things, amen. The helpless, not the capable. That's what it comes down to. So if you feel helpless this morning, if you feel that pull from the Lord, we invite you to come forward as we have a time of invitation. We're going to stand and sing hymn 373. May he lead us.